Hello, everyone. Welcome to another Everything Action Review Cast. I'm your host, Zach, and this time we have Joe.
Hey,
And this time for a review cast, we're going to be talking about the big. Well, I mean, it didn't do that great at the box office, but it's, in the heart of this nerd, it's big. Pacific Rim. Jaegers versus Kaiju.
insane.
So, Joe, why don't we get into the drift here?
Yeah, ready to do our
Engage
neural
the
handshake.
neural handshake, yeah.
Oh boy. You might not like what you find inside,
Yeah.
but I'll let you in.
So spoilers obviously for Pacific Rim.
Yes.
But if you haven't seen it, go see it. Definitely go see it in 3D if you can.
It's the only way.
But yeah, so let's get right into it, Joe.
Sure.
I think I you put up the review for us,
I did.
but I pretty much agree with you. Like, I think both of us give it like a solid 4 out of 5.
Absolutely.
Like probably some of the best action we'll see this year in this movie.
Period. Yeah.
Yeah.
Just the whole premise of the movie in and of itself is so in our wheelhouse and so like balls to the wall. Like, there's no secret in this movie. You know? Like, there's no twist. I mean, okay, there's like some twist, you know, plot stuff, but like, or character backstory, but
Yeah,
it's not like, oh, by the way, this is all a dream, or like this is all like some kid like playing with action figures,
or something
you
like
know.
J.J. Abrams, like, we're not gonna tell you who this character is, even though you can probably figure out who it is by the
Yeah, oh, exactly.
It's just like Guillermo del Toro's like, here's giant robots fighting giant monsters. Isn't that
Exactly.
awesome?
And we here at Everything Action think that it is awesome. And you know, they just put it into, you know, the top gear, man, and just drove it into the wall and just stayed right into the race, you know? I think that you know, there are no surprises. Like it, if the trailers appealed to you need to see this movie because it's more of exactly what you wanted to see in the trailers.
It's worth seeing just for that Hong Kong sequence alone.
Yeah, probably one of the best, I guess, climaxes, or like final battles in an action movie I've seen in a really long time. Like
Well, I
not
mean,
just in terms of like giant monster fights, but like in general.
there's a little bit, there's another sort of action sequence. It's not like half blown up Jaegers at the end of like the final action sequence, but like this is like the last like full power, full badass Jaegers taking on Kaiju for Hong Kong.
Oh yeah. Oh, absolutely. If we're talking specifically just about the Hong Kong battle, like that was fucking awesome. But even like, you know, at the end of the movie, just like it had that sort of and obviously we'll get into this, but like it had that sort of typical like there has to be a sacrifice in a team like action movie aspect to it, but it wasn't cheesy and it really like I guess fulfilled the story and like the characters and in a logical way. It wasn't just like, you know, a sacrifice was made for the sake of making you sad or for the sake of like making it I guess like multifaceted and not just like a straightforward fist fight. Like it just fit really well. And like whoever like really drove this movie, whether it was Guillermo del Toro or like his writers or people who collaborated on like the story process, like whoever really was in the driver's seat for most of this movie, just got it. You know, they got the whole monsters versus robots thing is cool, but even the genre of movie, you know, because a lot of times it feels more like Top Gun than Godzilla. And that's, I think that's intentional. I don't think that's not a mistake. I mean, there are characters that you care about, even if some are a little bit like, you know, overdone or questionable or whatever.
Well, I think like mostly all the characters are like stereotypes, pretty much.
Without a question, without a
Well,
doubt.
I think like the cast, everyone in the cast, like it makes it elevates it above. Like it was like instead if it, instead of like Charlie Hunnam, if it was like Sam Worthington or something.
Yeah.
Like it'd be like, oh my God.
Yeah, well, the perfect thing about Charlie Hunnam, in my opinion, is that, like, he's understated in Hollywood terms. Yep. Like, he doesn't really have a lot of star power, which is a shame because I'm a huge fan of his work. Like, Sons of Anarchy is probably in my top two favorite shows, which is saying something because, as I've said many times on our podcast, I really do think we're living in the golden age of television mm-hmm. right now. Like, there's more good stuff on now than I can ever remember there being. So, you know, for me to say that while I'm still watching shows like Breaking Bad and Mad Men and fucking Justified and, like, all these other really – Louie, all these really gnarly shows, like, that's a pretty huge statement to make. And he's definitely one of the – if not the driving force or driving forces, rather, behind that show and what makes it work so well. So translating that into, I guess, the big screen, it works because – he's not bringing this, like, star power to it that makes it, let's say, like, a Tom Cruise movie.
Yeah.
You know, and it's not becoming, like you said, like a Sam Worthington movie or even, like, a Liam Neeson movie as late. Exactly, Channing Tatum. And, like, there's nothing wrong with Channing Tatum and there's nothing wrong with, like, Gerard Butler or even someone like Matthew McConaughey or whatever. Like, there's nothing wrong with them. But by that same token, like, this movie is about the movie. And is about the story and is about the visuals. It's not really about, like, the subtext of, oh, yeah, this actor is, like, authoritative or this actor is, like, this type and he's playing this character.
You can definitely tell, like, it's like Guillermo del Toro was just like, I like all these guys. I'm putting them in the movie. I don't care if they're stars or not.
Without a doubt. And, like, you know where that comes through the strongest in terms of character, I think? Like, when you look at Charlie Day.
Yep.
Okay? When you look at Charlie Day, when you look at, oh, crap. I forget the other scientist's name.
It's Bern Gorman is the actor.
Yeah, yeah. Gottlieb was his name. Yeah, so Charlie Day and Bern Gorman, like, they're just such perfect, like, stereotypes yep. almost that it doesn't seem cheesy. It seems like they fucking nailed it. Same thing with Idris Elba as Stacker Pentecost, which, as you said before the podcast, is just the single most, like, badass commander name
yeah.
you could ever have. Like, other than, like, Max Payne or, like,
Francis X. Stryker
Ammunition. Like, yeah, it's pretty, pretty awesome.
Yeah.
But even, like, looking at Ron Perlman.
Yes.
Like, his character, Hannibal Chow, was so over the top, but yet simultaneously so perfect that you know that wherever that was conceived, it started like this. You know what would be fucking awesome? If you had this, like, black market, like, kaiju dealer who sold all these, like, really illegal, like, kaiju poaching parts? Yeah. And what if he dressed in, like, crazy outfits and had, like, weird steampunk sunglasses yeah. and, like, weird, like, Knights of the Round Table armor, like, yeah. fucking Victorian, like, knight armor on his shoes and, like, had a weird... Yeah, that'd be awesome. Hey, what if he was played by Ron Perlman? Holy shit. Like, that's how it went.
And Guillermo Toro's just like, speed dial number one. Like,
yeah, one. Pretty much. Pretty much he's like, hey, Hellboy, I want you to come back.
RP, it's GDT.
Yeah. Yeah, man. So, that's definitely how it goes. That's definitely what his voicemail is. It's GDT, leave a message. You know what to do. Or, it's GDT, I made Pacific Rim. But, yeah, so getting back, I guess, on point here, like, they knew what kind of movie they wanted to make, and they set out to get, like, all of the perfect sort of, like, components.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like, it was, like, a very, like, scientific sort of approach to it. Like, instead of being like, oh, my mom makes really good cookies. Oh, what's the recipe? I don't know. She just kind of does it, and they're good. There's some directors that are definitely like that, and some movies that kind of, I don't know, it works, but it works, and I like it a lot. But this was very much like, okay, we need to add, like, this, 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 and this, a little bit of this, and we're going to have the perfect this kind of movie. And they did that. And I think you first have to start with the premise, which is obviously awesome, and then just building it around this awesome, like, understated but super competent cast. Because think about it, like, objectively on the surface, and this isn't to sound pretentious or like a douchebag, but who's the star of this movie? Okay? And that's not to say
Gypsy
who
Danger.
Is, like... Right. Exactly. 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 That's not to say who's, like, the top build. I mean, who's the star in this movie? Who's the Tom Cruise? Who's the fucking Morgan Freeman in this movie? You know, like, there isn't one. And that means that it kind of puts, like, again, the movie and the story that's being told and the premise, like, before any of the star power. Mm-hmm. As you could probably tell, I was a fan of the cast and a fan of the movie.
Oh, my God. Yeah. Idris Elba? Oh, my God.
Incredible.
Yeah.
And you know what? I was talking about this with you before we went on the air about how after seeing him in Prometheus, I was like, if he could just be that character all the time and in everything he's in, it'll be perfect. And then to see him sort of like rebound with this, like, just tremendous. And he definitely had obviously more screen time and was much more dynamic and all that stuff. Prometheus was definitely much more of like an understated kind of like cerebral role for him, you know? Like, I guess the people who really like dug the story and are more than like casual sci-fi fans, like, they kind of look for that kind of arc anyway. Like, oh, the grizzled old captain who's seen everything and then has to go down with the ship.
Mm-hmm.
And that was perfect. But this, like, he's in your face practically the whole movie. You know, and he definitely, I mean, I guess other than, you know, Charlie Hunnam, like, he has the most screen time, I would say.
Mm-hmm. His, like, his amazing Independence Day speech.
That was beautiful. He just, like, sort of, like, impromptu, like, gather around, children.
Which I think they put the whole thing in the trailer, didn't they?
I think they have most of the speech, like, while there's cool shit happening in the background.
Yeah.
And then it comes back to him when it's like, today we are canceling the apocalypse. Which, awesome line,
yeah.
By the way. Like, I think that's going to be up there, like, welcome to Earth.
You today know? We celebrate our Independence Day.
Mm-hmm.
Freedom.
Yeah. And another thing is just how they kind of, like, set the tone of this movie right off the bat. Like,
oh, that was the opening montage was great for, like...
It was, exactly. It was, like, it started with a montage, which is usually, like, a not great way to start a movie.
It was definitely, like, for the average moviegoer, it was, like, a good, like, intro to, like, all right, brace yourselves, people, this is what we're dealing with.
Oh, sure, sure. Now, what I was going to say is that, like, it worked so well. Like, it was so perfect, and, like, a lot of what I think helped that is that it was showing genuinely cool shit.
Yeah.
Like, and you had to have, like, a fast eye, too, because, like, a lot of those, like, CNN sort of stories that they had going on, like, some of those are pretty awesome.
Well, I love, like there's, like, the one storyline where, like, the first kaiju that came up, it was, like, 6 days and 65 miles later, they took it down with, like, jets and tanks.
By the time they took it down, 60 miles and 6 days later... Yeah. We knew that we had to be prepared.
Yeah.
And then, like, and then it happened again, and you're like, Jesus Christ, like, that's terrifying.
Mm-hmm. And then, like, all the initial, like, Jaeger tests were, like, testing, like, the arm, then it's like, well, we can't have someone solo do it.
Yeah, oh, God, with the person, like, bleeding out, yeah. Like, through the nose and stuff, that was really cool.
Uh-huh.
And then even, like, the storyline, like, or that little, like, caveat of the storyline, which is to say that the kaiju blood... is, like, poisonous,
mm-hmm.
and is, like, like super acidic,
mm-hmm.
and then taking it even a step further, that the kaiju shit is, like, a legitimate, like, biohazard. You know? It's, like, it's a legitimate contaminant, and
yeah.
There'd be fucking, like, miles of it. Like, who thinks of that?
Mm-hmm.
And, like, it's one thing to think of it, and have fans be like, what do they do with the poop? Like, at a Comic-Con panel and get a few laughs out of it. But
apparently,
this is like,
apparently,
we're addressing this in the movie.
Apparently Hannibal Chow sells it.
Yeah. Yeah, they don't run away from it.
They just figure out a way to, like, decontaminate everything.
Yeah.
It's like him and his army of, like, scavengers.
Yeah, that was such an awesome, like, subplot or whatever, but... I'm
and
sure
and like, the fact, that, like... They just, like, there's, like, a slum built in, like, the skeleton of a kaiju.
That was fucking awesome.
Yeah.
Like, the set design in this movie was perfect. Because it was, like, a little bit steampunk, you know, but it was also a little bit, like, futuristic.
Yeah.
But not, like, iRobot, like, cheesy futuristic where everything
like,
is just, like, ironically futuristic, like.
Yeah,
it's like, oh, it's in the future, but he still wears cons because it was a better time.
Mm-hmm.
Like, he still has a Harley because things were cool back then. Like, it's not like that. It's like, yeah, like, we're a few years in the future, and, like, we have some technological developments, but this is still, like, life.
We have hologram screens everywhere.
Right, we've got badass hologram screens.
And
like,
giant robots. They'll suffer.
And also giant robots, yeah.
Inside the Shatter Dome.
Oh, God, best name ever.
Welcome to the Shatter Dome.
I mean, Public Enemy has held the record up until this point, I'd say, for the Terror Dome.
Yeah.
Their hit song, Welcome to the Terror Dome, but fucking, I think the Shatter Dome takes it, man.
Mm-hmm.
God damn. Like, the first time I heard that, I laughed. And, like, not because I thought it was cheesy or whatever.
The screen's like, Shatter Dome.
Dude, when I saw that, I laughed. And again, not because it was cheesy, not because I thought, like, oh, that's so stupid, but because I was like, that is fucking cool.
Yeah.
And, like, that's the only way I could respond to it was with laughter.
Yeah. See, fucking brilliant. Like, everything in this movie is, like, the opposite of, like, I saw, like, White House Down, like, a week or two ago. Like, everything in that movie was just, like, eye-rollingly awful. And this was just, mm-hmm. and everything in this movie, and everything in Pacific Rim, basically, was like, ha, yes, this is great. Like, the complete opposite of everything, like, even if they have, like, stereotypical characters or something, it's, like, it's cool stereotype. Like, it's not like, oh, my God, this whiny little daughter. I want to murder her.
Yeah.
It's like, no, we have, like, the crazy scientist guys and the tech guy and the grizzled leader.
Yeah, and they really did cover, like, everybody pretty fairly, I would say. Because, like, even in my review, which you can find on everythingaction.com,
mm-hmm.
You know, I mentioned that, like, and, you know, it's kind of, like, meant to be a little bit of a joke or whatever, talking about how, as my dog kills my family in the background, I apologize. What's her face? Oh, the girl who's, like, basically right out of a Japanese anime.
Mako?
Yeah, Mako. Yeah, Mako Mori is the actress's name.
Well, no, it's...
Rinko Kikuchi is the actress's name. She was playing Mako, which is cool.
Well, I think the only thing I can remember her otherwise being in is, like, Babel.
Yeah. Yeah, which I could leave in the past.
Yeah.
but Mako, which actually means shark, which is pretty cool. Like... I feel like she kind of fulfilled that super anime, manga, like, sci-fi.
Yeah. Well, this whole movie is, like, an anime, basically.
It's kind of like, again, to draw another comparison here, it's like Independence Day and Top Gun with, like, a Japanese anime, like, Gundam kind of,
mm-hmm.
like, backdrop. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. But she kind of took that whole, like, sci-fi kind of twist to it, where it's like, oh, she's the chosen one. Like, well, why is she the chosen one? Oh, because she's got so much anger, and because, like, the kaiju, like, took her family, and she's got this awesome, terrible memory of, like, this event happening. Like,
they're drift compatible, Joe.
They're drift compatible, but then also even having Stacker being, like, her adopted, like,
father,
dad. Like, that's also a very, like, Japanese manga sort of sensibility.
You'll never drive a Jaeger.
right, where it's like, you're my father and I have to respect you, but I disagree. And then they, like, storm out of the room. But I guess what I'm getting at is that they had, like, a little bit of everything for everybody.
Yep.
Like, even Bert Gorman just being, like, the super British scientist who's, like, postulating and hypothesizing. And then Charlie Day is just, like, this crazy fucking, like, off his meds kind of, like, renegade scientist. Yeah, with, like, the sleeves, and he's, like, a kaiju fan. Like, it's just kind of weird. Like, if for some reason, I was getting the impression that he was going to, like, turn evil. Or not, like, turn evil, but become, like, corrupted somehow.
But,
you know what I mean?
Like, we drift, become, like, a kaiju agent or something.
Not become a kaiju agent, but kind of, like... Well, yeah, I guess, for lack of a better term, be a kaiju agent.
Like,
just kind of, like,
kaiju,
sell them out.
A kaiju overlord or whatever. Like, take
but the sort of thing where, like, he goes to the Shatter Dome and they're like, son of a bitch, they followed him.
Yeah.
And then have them, like, converge on the Shatter Dome, mm-hmm. like, four of them at once. You know, like, I don't know, but, like, that's just kind of, like, at one point the sort of, like, vibe I was getting. Thankfully, I was wrong because I thought that, while it might have been cool, it also would have been, like, infinitely predictable.
Well, I mean, they did kind of, like, follow him. in Hong Kong.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. But I mean, like, that wasn't really his fault. You know what I mean? Like, he went into shelter, like, oh, I'll be safe here. Cool. He wasn't like, must serve the kaiju masters.
Yeah.
Like,
and I guess, like, Hannibal did that before, too. Like, he tried to drift with the kaiju brain that he never really could get into.
Yeah, like, he...
He's like, I did it! And then...
Yeah, man, what's cool about him is that he raises more questions than he answers.
Yeah.
You know, and I like the fact that if you stayed around after the credits, you got... Or during the credits, actually, you got a pretty cool little scene. Ron Perlman as Hannibal Chow. So he's... He is... the rumors of his death have been greatly exaggerated.
Mm-hmm. By the crazy baby kaiju.
Yeah, that got a little bit weird, too. But it also kind of, like, dealt with a really legitimate point, I thought.
Mm-hmm.
That, like, what if, you know, they were pregnant? Or what if they, you know, sort of had, like, little... baby monsters that you could, like, fight on foot. Like, that kind of thing. Because, I don't know, I'm just curious and a Godzilla fan, so I was kind of like, huh, I wonder if they start small or if they come here big or, like, what's the deal? And then they got into the whole thing with, like, clones
yeah,
and
like,
dinosaurs.
Like, there's, like, the Independence Day aliens are, like, genetically engineering them.
Yeah.
Which, I like, did you think, like, those, like, whatever, like, the... When they go, like, they're, like, the kaiju dimension, like... Those, like, the aliens were, like, they, like, definitely looked like Independence Day aliens.
They did a little bit, and...
Like, their head shape and everything.
Right. No, they definitely did. And, I mean, just the fact that they're, like, humanoid, you know, like, in appearance.
Yeah.
For the most part, like, they've got a very discernible, like, four, you know, two arms, two legs, bipedal head, all that stuff.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that was kind of cool, I guess. I mean, I would have been just as satisfied, to be honest with you, if they were just fucking interdimensional monsters.
Yeah.
Like, if there's just some sort of, like, crazy wormhole that opened up in the middle of our planet for some reason. Or if they had inhabited the Earth, like, long before us. And, like, if they been what killed the dinosaurs and the Ice Age, like,
didn't they do a, throwaway line where it's, like, the dinosaurs were kaiju?
Yeah. Oh, that's a storyline.
Yeah.
That's the storyline. They said the throwaway line, I believe, was they tried it first with the dinosaurs.
Yeah, and
they're
then
cloning,
and they went extinct because they couldn't handle the atmosphere. But now that we've like
right, but
a little bit like a message of like we polluted the air and polluted the water, so now it's like perfect for them.
Basically, like we set the table for them to be able to succeed because we fucked up the atmosphere so badly and like polluted the Earth so much and. Did what we did to the climate, if you buy into that. You know, it pretty much, like, set the table for them to come here and not, like, fall to shit. Really, what it all comes down to is that, like, they want the Earth for themselves.
Yeah.
But the aliens are kind of, like, terraforming because they want to, like, take our resources and whatnot.
Just like the Independence Day aliens.
Just like the Independence Day aliens, which is pretty much the alien storyline.
Yeah.
Not the film Alien, but, like, you know, in general. Like,
come take resources and then drain the planet and leave.
Take resources and then do your thing. Yeah, I mean, even if you buy into, like, the whole Zechariah Sitchin, like, Planet X, Nibiru, and the Anunnaki that visited us to use us as slaves and harvest gold and then mated with us, which is actually the missing link in our evolutionary tract, for those of you who are actually into, like, you know, UFOlogy and shit like that. That is kind of there in this too. You know, not necessarily like the Zechariah Sitchin theory. I don't mean that, but just that whole idea of like it's all about the resources, mm-hmm. but they don't actually want to come and do the dirty work. They would rather send their like because really the kaiju in this are like their equivalent, I guess, of like war machines of like tanks or fucking Black Hawk helicopters for us. They're just kind of like, okay, we'll send the drones to do it.
Mm-hmm.
I think we need to talk about the actual fight sequences themselves.
Yeah.
And the 3D. I know the 3D isn't going to be, like, you know, unanimous across the board, because it's not like you had to see this in 3D. But just to get out of the way, the 3D movie was... In how 3D is supposed to be in a movie. It wasn't gimmicky throwing stuff at the screen where it's like, oh, when it hit us, just wooden seats and move. That's right. Now I remember. Like, it's not gimmicky at all. But what it does do is just make everything pop a little bit more, make everything, gives everything more depth and a sense of grandeur. And like, yeah, there are times obviously where things are coming at the screen or like things are popping out like much more than usual, but it never took away from the movie. Like I was never distracted by the 3D. It only sort of like enhanced the action. And even Zach, as you pointed out, even just some of the dialogue that happens in the movie, just scenes where people are talking to each other, just the way it made things.
Yeah. Like if you're if you're in like one of the hallways or something, and just like the depth it gives to the hallway is amazing.
Yeah. Tremendous sense of depth. And, again, just sort of like made everything feel a little bit bigger and more epic, which, for a movie like this, you certainly can't get enough of being big or being epic. So it only sort of emphasized, I guess, the overall kick-assness of this film. But getting into the fights, I mean, there's certainly not a lack of action. You know, even from the very beginning, like, they kind of throw you right into it.
Mm-hmm.
I thought the fights between the kaiju and the Jaeger were just, like, absolutely what you wanted to see. Like, to me, it felt almost like old school like Power Rangers, you know, like when the Megazord is like punching one of those giant Rita monsters, and it's like the punches are like super like slow and telegraphed, but they're like big and powerful and stuff.
Oh yeah, you definitely like, unlike say like Transformers or something, like you definitely feel the weight of every single punch and hit and everything.
That's a perfect way to put it.
Because like the Transformers is like, oh my god, they're jumping all over the place, and they're like, they have no weight to them. They're just like, clearly CG, like, creations. This was like, these things, like, it's like, no, these things are real, and they're like beating the crap out of each other.
Yeah, and I think part of what helps get that across is the fact that most of the battles, because they take place in the ocean, like, they're always making waves.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And like you had said before we went on, like, obviously, them being that deep in the ocean and being as tall as they are and, like, having most of their body, like, from the knees up stick out of the water, like, emphasizes how huge the Jaeger and the kaiju really are, which is awesome and everything. But I think it more emphasizes, like, just how big and sort of powerful movements as simple as being dropped into the ocean by helicopter are.
Yeah.
Or, like, just walking through the ocean, like, with that really purposeful sort of, like, crazy straight-on walk that they have, you know? It's kind of like seeing, like, Jason walk at you in one of the Friday the 13th movies, where it's kind of like, it's almost like a force of nature. You're like, fuck, I couldn't stop that thing if I wanted to. That's kind of what this is like.
Oh, man, all the control stuff in, like, the Jaeger's head, too, was fantastic.
Yeah.
Like, how they have to, like, they walk on, like, an invisible treadmill, basically, and then, like, that drives the legs, and they and each of them controls an arm, and they have, like, this, like, 3D arm that they use and stuff.
And again, there's more of that sort of, like, anime, very Japanese, like, influence. Like, that's total, like, Matrix-type stuff.
Yeah.
You know, that's total Japanese sci-fi, which to me worked and was awesome. Like, I think it would have been infinitely less appealing and not nearly as interesting if you had fucking, like, pimple-faced 22-year-old, like, drone pilots.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Sitting in a fucking strip mall in Florida with a joystick and a can of Mountain Dew. They're like, oh, we're kicking its ass. Like, no one wants to see that. And, like, as you see super early on in the movie with, you know, Yancey, Raleigh's brother, like, the fact that they have human pilots, like, it presents a very unique kind of danger.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why, like, the Jaeger pilots is seen as, like, you know, national heroes. You know, and it's like an honor to be a Jaeger pilot. Mm-hmm. And another thing, another aspect of the movie that I really liked is the fact that, like, and no, it's not some, like, New World Order fucking, like, weird subtext or anything like that. We're like, oh, we all have to have one world currency and one world government. Like, it's not trying to say that. But the fact that, like, all the countries came together and decided not to make an individual, like, unified army, but to say, hey, we need to put our heads together and come up with a way to, like, stop getting butt-fucked by these things. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And it's cool because you see, like, China, for instance, like, their Jaeger, fucking awesome, but also super Chinese.
Yep.
You know? Like, the Russian Jaeger, badass, but super duper Soviet.
Yeah.
So, like, I love that, like, every country's kind of, like, movie persona, you know what I mean? How they're generally, like, stereotyped to be in movies, like, kind of came through.
Yeah.
But, like, it wasn't seen as, like, stereotypical or offensive. It was seen as, like, oh, man, like, look at how badass and different, like, China's Crimson Dynamo is.
It definitely, like, those are, it definitely felt like this is the kind of robot that China would build or Russia would build. Yeah.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And, like, what's cool is that, like, the Jaegers were characters in and of themselves.
Mm-hmm.
Like, they all had personalities. Like, Gypsy Danger, I kind of got this very kind of, like, Captain America sense from it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, where it's, like, it's not necessarily the strongest Jaeger in the fight or the most advanced Jaeger in the fight, but, like, it's going to be the hardest to kill because it's going to fight you to the death.
Yep.
And it kind of, like, stands for, like, America and X, Y, and Z, right? That's cool. But if you look at the Russian Jaeger, it's just fucking like this. It's no frills.
Yep.
It's this big, gnarly, like almost looks like muscle bound.
Its head is like fucking five stories tall.
It's basically a 5-story tall square like dome.
Yeah,
pretty much. And it looks like the Mark I Iron Man suit from the comics a little bit.
A little bit. Yep.
Like the 19. Fucking like 50s Iron Man or 60s Iron Man rather, and like you were saying, like that's super Russian. Like even if it's a little bit stereotypical or whatever, like it's not stereotypical in a negative way. It's stereotypical and it's like these are very like industry driven and like make shit with your hands, cold steel kind of people. And that's the fucking Jaeger that they produce.
Yeah,
and like they even say it in the movie, like it's not the fastest. And it's not, like, the most advanced, but
it's gonna
for lack of a better term, it's going to fuck you up. Yeah. Like, it's like the Wolverine mm-hmm. of Jaegers. It's short and stout, and it's going to walk through you. And to me, that was just cool as hell.
I wish we got, like, gotten to learn a little bit more about the pilots, though. The crazy, yeah, like, tag team pilot, like...
Yeah, because, I mean, they put such an emphasis on the fact that you have to be drift compatible.
Yeah.
And you have to be able to do the neural handshake and, like, sort of have this full trust in the person and, you know, all that good stuff, which I thought was very, very cool. But by that same token, like, we don't see any of that in the other pilots.
Yeah.
You know, like, I mean, okay, let me take that back. We see a lot of that with, I think they were Australian.
Yeah, Australian, Striker Eureka.
Yeah, man, with Stryker and Herc Hansen and Chuck, his
yep.
douchebag son.
The Iceman of the movie.
Yeah. Oh, by the way, I think Herc might have been one of my favorite characters.
Oh, God, yeah.
Like, that, he was just fucking awesome. Like, he had this sort of, like, grizzled, like, veteran-ness to him. Like, just the fact that Raleigh calls him Sir.
Yep.
I was kind of like, oh, I should be calling him Sir, too. Like, I don't know, he just striked me as, like, he struck me as, like, a Solid Snake big boss type guy.
Yes.
You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Like, which if you're listening, maybe Max Martini might not be a bad choice. But yeah, like that, we definitely saw some development, and they were father and son, and like, you know, that kind of goes with the whole family being like good or decent like candidates for the neural handshake and all that stuff. But as far as like the Russians went, didn't see that at all. And then the Chinese pilots, there were three of them. So that kind of been that could have been a cool dynamic too. Like,
was there three of them, or was there, they just had three arms, I thought.
I thought there were three of them for some reason. There might have been four, because I thought I remembered seeing them like back to back to back. Because wasn't it like a double sided Jaeger?
I don't know, there's like a whole group doing like karate or something. But then
it was very weird, and honestly, like I would like to see the movie again just because there's so much that I was like, whoa, like distracted.
Yeah.
Not like distracted by, but like I was definitely a mark when I was watching this movie. Like I wasn't watching this movie like, oh, the cinematography is wonderful. Like I was watching this like, whoa, awesome, cool.
Yeah.
Like, I got out of that movie and was like, oh, I wonder if Toys R Us is still open. I'm sure I could still go buy the Gypsy Danger figure,
yeah.
You know?
And then buy like the knife head to go to attack it.
Mm-hmm.
Wait.
If you make Rock'em Sock'em Robots with the Jaegers mm-hmm. and Kaiju.
Wait, so yeah, so actually speaking of the Kaiju, like same thing with like how all the Jaegers are unique, like all the Kaiju are unique too, which is
incredible.
Great.
Incredible.
There's like the aforementioned knife head, who's like the first Kaiju that we see, who's like just like basically a swordfish, basically. Or,
yeah.
It's like stabbing Gypsy Danger through the chest with like his giant nose.
That was fucking awesome, and they even had like a one that had like crab pinchers too. Like that was the one
the
that
flashback one, yeah.
Family, yeah. Like that was awesome and horrifying.
A giant
think
crab.
About it. A giant
crab.
Crab battle.
Hit the weak points for massive damage.
Yeah, exactly.
And there's like a gorilla one and like a flying one and.
Oh, the gorilla one was badass. I just like jumped out of the water and like skull fucked.
Yeah, like so, like it's like they're kind of getting beat. The one we don't know, it's not flyer. We don't know it's flyer yet, but it's just like attacking like they're like both like Crimson Typhoon, whether the Russian one was named, I can't remember. But like they're like,
yeah.
Oh man, we got this one. We got a category 4 of kaiju just kind of beating us. And then like all of a sudden, just like gorilla kaiju just like jumping out of the water.
You know, I now realize that I called Crimson Typhoon Crimson Dynamo earlier, and I apologize to the people of China, and also to the Jaeger team.
Yeah.
But for some reason,
intersect
the comedy, I go to Crimson Dynamo first.
Yeah. Maybe he was the Russian who designed the Russian Jaeger.
Could be. There's definitely some weird crossover going on, some fan fiction maybe.
Mm-hmm.
In the cards.
Tony Stark would probably have designed a Jaeger for America if this was the Marvel Universe.
You know what? That would be fucking awesome. To have like a 50-story like Hulkbuster.
Yeah.
Like, are you fucking kidding me? Mm. That would be so cool. That would be awesome. But, you know, I feel like if this is, you know, Legendary and WB's giant monster movie, and then you have Godzilla on the horizon for next summer, like, man, I have no reservations about that movie and about the inevitable and pretty much confirmed Pacific Rim sequel
mm-hmm.
as well. Because I feel like this was the hardest part. You know, was getting this out and selling people the idea that, look, we can make this movie and it's actually a movie and not just like a montage of like big metal things hitting big reptile looking things.
Although you said in your review, Joe, if it was just 2 hours of that, I think we'd all be saying it was still awesome.
Listen, man, I'm not worried about us or our faithful readers and listeners. I know we're good. We're all in the same boat, Jack.
If it was just like,
but if
the Hong Kong battle was like real time and it took like 3 hours.
Okay, here's what I want to see in the sequel. Are you ready? What I want to see in the sequel is a real-time battle.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, show me a one-hour-long battle. Or even show me, like, a 45-minute battle. You know what? Show me a 20-minute battle. Something crazy like that, where it's all kind of like that simulated, like, single-shot thing.
Yeah.
And do, like, the Man of Steel thing, where it, like, zooms in and out really quick to sort of give you that sense of, like frenzy and like, oh, we're trying to keep up with the action, or like even show it like through the perspective of like news like teams and like news cameras that are on site. Like that would be badass as hell, just to show like real time like how crazy these kind of battles can be.
I would like this is like one of my only nitpicks with Pacific Rim is like maybe just one battle in daytime too.
That would have been nice, I agree.
Because all the major action sequences are in the dark and it's raining.
In the dark and the rain are in the middle of the ocean.
Yeah.
Or all three. or underwater. Don't forget that.
And definitely, like, that's where the 3D comes into, because it's like the 3D like definitely helps you like separate everything. Like the rain from like the
yes.
Like that's what I heard, like a lot of people who saw it in like 2D was like, I couldn't figure out what the hell was going on. It was all blurry. Like, the rain was blurring, and night it was, like, blurring everything out.
Yeah. Yeah, that's another thing, too. I mean, I can't compare it to non-3D or whatever.
Yeah.
But maybe that's something between now and the Blu-ray release they'll kind of try to, like, crisp up a little bit.
Mm-hmm. I'm sure it's not that bad, but I think...
Oh, I'm sure it's fine. Like, if you're watching on an HDTV or whatever, or, like, especially if you have it on Blu-ray or something, I'm sure it's not a problem. But if you're watching it on my old Trinitron mm-hmm. down in the basement, it might be a problem.
Yeah, it's just, like, not all action has to take place at night.
Yeah.
I mean, I guess it makes it more dramatic, possibly, but, like, stuff can happen during daytime, too. Like, I remember when, like, Death Race came out, like, the Jason Statham first one, everyone was like, oh my god, like, half the, like, most of the, sequences are at daytime.
Yeah, that was really kind of bizarre.
Yeah. You can see everything, it's crazy.
Yeah.
I think that's why everyone, like, loved, like, Fast Five, too, because, like, Fast Five was, like, all... daytime stuff.
Yeah. Yeah, and you know what? Like, if we're talking about nitpicky stuff, like, I will say that some of the stuff was, like, a little overly cheesy at times, uh-huh. but I'm fine with that, too. Yep. Like, that's not a problem.
Like,
but my
like,
big problem...
Like, Stacker dying from, like, radiation poisoning or whatever.
Yeah. Yeah, like that, I don't know. I wasn't on board for that.
Those Mark I Jaegers, man. They didn't have any radiation shielding.
Yeah. The only other thing was that, and maybe you'll agree with me, maybe you won't, but I felt a profound dip in action. Like, there's definitely a lull in the middle of this movie.
It's, like, when they get to the Shatter Dome,
yeah.
Like, there's a good, I would say at least half an hour, 45 minutes where it's just like
easily yeah. about 40 minutes
it's,
of just
it's like all just
no
like
action.
It's all just like, well, we gotta set all the characters up, set all the relationships up, so
exactly, and that's the only way that it works, you know what I mean? Like, I'll be interested to see the deleted scenes and like whatever Blu-ray special features they have, like, don't get me wrong, mm-hmm. even if there's an extended cut, I'd be particularly excited to see that, but you know, it just, you know, maybe it was just me because I was seeing it late, I don't know, but like, there's a point where I got a little fidgety and was like, okay, like, where's the action?
Yeah.
Like,
you get
it.
Because you get, like, the opening, the awesome opening where, like, Gypsy Danger is, like, off Alaska, like, rescuing Deadliest Catch fishermen.
Yes.
And then, like, the awesome, like, somehow Riley's able to pilot the Gypsy Danger deck to Alaska shore.
Yeah.
Only person who could do solo combat.
Yeah.
Yeah, but then... Once, like, then you get a little bit of, like, how, like, Stryker defended Australia.
That was badass, yeah.
And then, but then, like, after that, it's just a lot of, like, it's all, like everyone talking to each other and, like, yelling at each other and, like Australian Iceman being, like...
Oh, yeah.
You're not...
And I'll say it
again. Out there, man. And it's like...
That's right, I am dangerous.
And it's, like, in, like, 20 minutes of, like, you should let her pilot... It's like Riley being like, you should let Mako pilot the Gypsy Danger with me. Like, and Stacker's just like,
she can't
no.
do it. Okay, maybe she can. Well, she can't, damn it. See, this is why.
She got the best scores. She can't do it.
I won't let her.
An awesome fight sequence.
As her adopted black Asian father.
Yeah, so that was definitely like the, like, it definitely dips down. And but if you get past,
yeah.
Like, once you get past that and you get to Hong Kong, it's just like, whatever, I don't give a crap about any of that.
Right, and here's the thing, too. Again, it's just a nitpick.
Yeah.
It's just a nitpick.
I mean, even in that section, you still have, like, Charlie Day running around. Yep.
Yeah,
stuff.
Oh, man, I didn't say it wasn't entertaining.
Yeah.
I just said it definitely slowed down a little, and you know why it slows down? It's because it's such killer action from the beginning of the movie.
Yep.
Like, there's no, like, there's an introduction in this movie, but there's no build-up. You know what I mean? It's just like, hey, this awful shit happened a while back, and here's a real-time, like,
yeah, it's like
fucking
it's like,
fight.
Like, Pacific Rim, like, when it starts proper, is, like, what, 7 years after Kaiju started attacking?
Yeah, like, 6 or 7 years.
Then,
6 or 7 full
and then
years,
it's like,
yeah.
And then after, like, the intro, it's, like, another 5 years. So it's, like, 12 years into the Kaiju War.
Something like that, yeah.
Yeah.
But I just like how, like, even that first official, like, proper battle begins. How, like, the alarm's just waking up, like, gypsy danger. Like, fucking battle stations.
Thanks,
bitch.
GLaDOS.
Yeah, oh. But that was so cool. Because they just wake up and it's like, they really are like fighter pilots, you know? They're like, oh, time to go fly.
I do love that there's like a great, like, GLaDOS sort of moment where it's like, right when, like, Mako and, like, the test run they do, and she almost, like, blows everyone up. And yeah. Like, they have, like, rip the power out of, like, the console, like, shut down Gypsy Danger, and then she's like,
yeah.
It was this, like, neural handshake, eliminated. Would you like to try again?
Yeah. Yeah, very, 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 very cool.
Mm-hmm.
And I like the, like, sort of, this isn't a spoiler, but, like, that kind of, like, little twist at the end, like, oh, that works out perfectly. It's like, oh, EMP type shit just took out all our electricity. We can't get our defenses up. We can't get anyone powered up. Well, Gypsy's nuclear. Gypsy, do you?
Get out there with your chain sword and go bust some heads.
Yeah, pretty much.
Oh, man. Yeah, speaking of the chainsword, like, how awesome was it, like, when, like, the flying Jaeger, the flying kaiju, like, brought them up to, like, the fucking, like, stratosphere or something, and then, like...
And Iron Man them?
Yeah. And then yeah. they somehow just, like, land in, like, a crouch and, like, blow up the stadium or, like, that baseball stadium or whatever.
That was fucking rad, number one.
Yeah.
And number two, that sword thing was so cool.
Although...
Because they kind of, like, forgot that they had it. They're like, oh, yeah, we could do the sword thing that arguably would have saved everyone's lives
after,
much earlier.
After you, like... Beat, like, punched, like, that gorilla Jaeger to death, or the gorilla kaiju to death with your bare hands.
Yeah.
Although it was kind of awesome, they kind of, I mean, they already kind of have brass knuckles because it's a robot, but, like, I like how they, like, picked up, like, cargo containers and was, like, using them as, like, brass knuckles, kind of.
Fuck, baseball bat, too.
Yeah,
like, that
ship baseball bat was amazing.
When he's just walking down that highway in Hong Kong, like, just dragging that fucking container behind it.
Yeah.
I was like, holy shit. Like, we knew it was coming from the trailer and everything, but when you actually see it, like, walking down the highway like that,
yeah,
just, like, carrying it, I'm like, this looks like a fucking street fight. Like, this is awesome.
Mm-hmm.
This is, like, something you'd see on The Sopranos. Like, just some guy walking down an alley with a baseball bat, and you know what's coming. And it's the same sort of deal here. I personally would have liked to see nunchucks somehow.
Yes.
But maybe that's something they could work on.
Like, Chris Typhoon, like, just pulled out, like, and, like, it turned the third arm to, like, nunchucks or something.
That would have been fucking cool. Or if there was, like, some tag team stuff going on. Like, if you basically watch, like, two weeks back-to-back of TNA wrestling, you could see some awesome fucking tag team moves.
I bet the Japanese, like, Jaeger, before it got blown up or decommissioned or whatever, it was probably, like, some sort of crazy ninja Jaeger.
Probably was. Probably had some sort of, like, badass,
well, like
throwing...
Or just, like, a giant silver samurai or something, like...
That would be awesome. What would be really awesome is if they just made, like, giant fucking sentinels that kind of, like, patrolled the ocean for kaiju.
Yeah.
You know?
Oh, my God. It would have been so hilarious if they just, like, cut to, like... Like, in the opening montage, just cut to Chuan's like, we got this.
Yeah, yeah.
We have, like, a bunch of Jaegers already ready to go.
Yeah, really.
We're gonna power up our giant Gundam that we built like 20 years ago. Our life size 1-to-1 Gundam that we built. We're just gonna put like a nuclear reactor in it.
And in the end, it was cosplaying nerds that saved the Earth from the kaiju.
Yeah. I'm writing
all your names. Yeah.
It was
good stuff.
It was kind of crazy that like they're basically. There's four Jaegers left, and they just, like exiled them to, like, Australia or whatever, or like Hong Kong. It's like, we're just going to build walls.
Oh, yeah, and they just, like, punch through it like it's fucking rice paper.
You think, like, after that, the government would be like, the world government or whatever would be like, just, like, millions of dollars for more Jaegers, guys.
Yeah. So sweet.
Those Category 4 kaiju are just crazy. That's why I love it too. Like, just like they're basically like the kaiju are like hurricanes. It's just like we got Category 3s and Category 4s and stuff.
That was cool. The classification system.
And like I love how like instantly make them nicknames for them too. It's like we got Category 4 Leatherneck coming in.
Yeah.
The Category 5 wasn't as crazy as I thought it would be.
Oh, no, I thought it was going to be fucking, like, Cthulhu. Are you kidding me?
Yeah, they kind of did, it was kind of like the Star Destroyer shot when they first came out, like never-ending kaiju coming out, but then it was like, oh, it's just, like, kind of like a bigger, like, squiddy sort of thing.
Well, yeah, I mean, I was thinking it was going to be fucking, like, an H.P. Lovecraft thing.
Yeah,
like, the fucking
yeah.
Cosmic god of horror, like, that has wings and a tentacle, like, octopus face and, like, a centaur body, like, something crazy like that.
Yeah.
Then I was like, oh, it's just kind of like a big kaiju. Okay,
yeah.
Well, let's handle this, you know?
Let's detonate this nuke and blow it up.
Yeah.
That was another...
But,
was another
I mean...
Another badass Gypsy Danger moment was, like, has, like... He has, like, one arm, like, no arm, and then one basically blown-up leg, and, like, they still do, like, the awesome, like, sword all the way through the kaiju, like, that worm kaiju.
That was pretty sweet.
Yeah.
Yeah, I like that they have, like, that the Jaeger kind of, like, have that sort of, like, personality to them. You know what I mean? Like, not necessarily... Just in that, like, oh, look, the Chinese Jaeger looks like it was made in China.
Mm-hmm.
Like, has, or, like, it's red, and that's, like, you know, luck, and, like, all this other stuff associated with the color red, and, like, Chinese superstition. Like, I don't mean that. I mean, like, Gypsy has battle scars.
Yep.
You know, like, it looks weathered. Like, it's not fucking pretty. It limps when its leg is fucked up. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like, it really feels like a character in the movie and not just some vessel for the characters to pilot.
Yeah.
So that was another thing that I thought sort of added like a layer of depth to everything going on, was that you actually felt like a sense of loss when, you know, when a Jaeger would go down, especially when like Gypsy got fucked up on the shore. Like, I know it's early in the movie and everything, but like when it first falls like that.
Or like when like Knifehead like bites open the fucking like head.
Oh, yeah, that was nuts.
He was still connected to him through the drift.
Yeah, that's another weird thing that they touched on that I'm glad they did, but certainly strange.
I did one more thing I appreciate about, like, is, like, they did, like, the initial, like, intro to everything, but then after that it was just like, well, if you didn't get it before, we're not going to help you.
Yeah.
Because they kept going on, like they're like, he's a Mark IV, he's a Mark III, they're using Typhoon technique, it's like all this crazy stuff they're like, putting out, and it's just like, not really, you know, like, there's not, like, someone, like, overhanded and being like, that means this, everybody. Wink, wink to the audience. Like, Mark V's mm-hmm. were created this time, and this means that, and stuff. They're like, you guys are smart enough to get this, probably, right?
Yeah.
Like, the worst example of that is, like, Casino Royale, where it's like, he's explaining the goddamn poker hands to everyone.
Yeah, that was a little much, I thought.
He's got the royal flush. If he gets
Do you know what that means?
If he gets a straight flush, he will win the entire pot. Pot meaning money that they're playing for.
Because we are in a casino where chips are exchanged for cash.
Did I mention this game is poker?
Yes.
It is a card game that you play with cards.
Scan the QR code with your cell phone to find out more about poker.
Yeah.
And gaming laws in your state.
Mm-hmm. So, anything else we can talk about for Pacific Rim, Joe?
I feel like we touched on basically everything.
Mm-hmm.
You know, overall, I think solid 4 out of 5 is a great way to put it.
Yeah. Like,
you know,
like,
it did.
It does drag in that one part, and the characters are kind of stereotypes and, like, cliches, but it's balanced out by, like, some of the most awesome action you'll probably see this year. So,
absolutely. I'll put it to you like this. It succeeds at much more than it fails at.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You know, overall, I would say it was a huge success.
Like, I got exactly what I thought I was going to get from the trailers of, like, giant robots punching giant monsters in the face.
Bingo. Yeah, there are no surprises. And in the best of ways. It's not like, oh, it was a flat movie, or like, oh, like, there's nothing going on. I mean, I paid to see giant goddamn robots fight giant goddamn monsters, and that's what I saw for over 2 hours.
Yep.
Much to my delight.
Mm-hmm. And if Godzilla next year is half as awesome as this, then, oh man.
Yeah, from the looks of that viral marketing and everything that's going on just for fucking Comic-Con, I would say that we have something really special on our hands.
Mm-hmm.
So, believe me, I'm the most excited person I know for that movie. And having just seen Pacific Rim, I'm like a kid in a candy shop. Mm-hmm.
All right, so I think that's going to do it for this week, for this review cast. Oh, let me mention, if you want to go read more, Joe's written review is up on the site right now, so go check that out. And if you want more information, you can go to www.everythingaction.com for views, news, trailers, all sorts of crazy stuff going up on there. Also on Facebook, facebook.com/everythingaction, twitter.com/evaction, everythingaction.tumblr.com, contact@everythingaction.com is their email. You can find us on iTunes. You can also find us on Stitcher. And I think that's it. So for Joe, I'm Zach, and we will see you next review cast.